The Paralympic Games are underway in Tokyo this week, where athletes are once again competing in front of relatively empty stadiums. Japan banned spectators, but is allowing groups of Japanese school children to watch the games in person. Now, several schools are backing out over concerns about the spread of COVID-19. Let's bring in Michelle Lee, Tokyo Bureau Chief, for our editorial partners at The Washington Post. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, thanks for having me.
I'm interested in both sides of this decision. So first, the decision by the government to allow school children to attend, and then why some schools are backing out.
Right. The intent among the organizers and government officials is to teach children the value of diversity and inclusion and to show them something inspirational, give them, you know, show them the successes of these incredible Paralympians. And, you know, that's a quite laudable intent on their part. However, on the side of the school children, their parents, the schools who actually have to decide whether to send the children to the games, they're concerned about the spread of the virus. These kids are not vaccinated. They may come home and spread the virus as carriers. And there are signs that children may be more susceptible to the Delta variant. They have to take countermeasures like social distancing. They have to take a bus, can't take public transportation, they can't cheer. But you also just never know when you gather groups of people like that.
Can you give us an update on the COVID-19 situation in Japan right now, and especially in Tokyo?
Positive cases, especially severe cases, have been on the rise in Tokyo and throughout Japan. There's been a state of emergency declared here in Tokyo for a couple months now since the Olympics began, and actually for the most part of this year. And now it keeps expanding throughout Japan because more and more prefectures are seeing cases go up. Vaccinations are not going as quickly as we would like to see. Not even half of the population has gotten one of two doses. However, all of the elderly are vaccinated, pretty much all of them, which is a good thing. Cases keep reaching record highs. They're breaking records all the time, not just in Tokyo, but throughout Japan. Hospitals are overwhelmed. We're seeing thousands of COVID patients being turned away at the hospitals. They're being asked to stay home unless it's critical. So the COVID situation is not going to get anytime soon, it seems like.
How has this conversation gone about spectators, especially bringing in unvaccinated kids, among athletes, some of whom have disabilities that mean they are at potentially higher risk for severe complications from COVID-19?
Right. One of the major concerns about bringing any spectators at all was the exposure to these athletes, many of whom do have underlying conditions or are more vulnerable. The organizers are hyper aware of that. From the athletes' perspective, there haven't been any major pushback or anything. And I think because the number of students and schools pulling out keeps increasing, the concern over the school program likely is not as high as it was at the very beginning. I mean, you know, for the most part, within the games venues, the countermeasures are quite strict. And now we're not seeing many students participate anyway. So from the athletes' perspective, there's not been as big of a pushback as the schools themselves and parents themselves have been expressing.
Let's switch gears a little bit and focus on one athlete in particular. That is Afghan swimmer Abbas Karimi, competing as part of the refugee Paralympic team. Karimi was born with no arms. He learned how to swim in a refugee camp in Turkey when he was 16, and he spoke to us last month about how he escaped Afghanistan as a teenager and learned to swim. Let's listen.
You know, me and my oldest brother, you know, he was willing to help me. You know, he got a passport for me, and everything got fixed, and he, you know, we flew to Iran together, and after a week, I went to, you know, Turkey. And walking one mountain to another mountain, and finally somehow I got to Turkey. So.
Given all that's happened in Afghanistan over the past few weeks, I have to imagine that the significance of Karimi's participation has risen, especially for Afghan fans.
Absolutely. He's become such a symbolic figure, not just here among the people watching and paying attention, but throughout the world. There were two Afghan athletes, at least, who were supposed to compete this week or compete at the Paralympics. They were evacuated safely from Afghanistan and have been relocated, according to the organizers. But so far, there are no plans for them to compete at this time, even though that could still change. So it's the fact that they couldn't come and the fact that we do have this refugee who had escaped from Afghanistan many years ago competing, it's gotten a lot of attention and a lot of conversation around it as well. Abbas Karimi was one of the flag bearers at the opening ceremony, so that was very notable as well.
And what do you think about the residents of Tokyo? Is there still excitement about the Games?
You know, it's not as palpable as it felt during the Olympics. Around the city, life is pretty normal, even though there's a state of emergency. People are pretty much going about their day. They just can't stay out as long as they could before. You still see Paralympic signs, but we're not seeing major crowds gathering like we did around the Olympics.
Michelle Lee is Tokyo Bureau Chief for The Washington Post. Thanks so much, Michelle.
Thank you.